Hi everyone, welcome to the ANTA podcast series, which aim at raising awareness on the project ANTA to Transform and newcomer entrepreneurship, and especially our businesses. This is the fourth episode of our podcast series of the project ANTA to Transform, transformational entrepreneurship hubs for recognized refugee restarters. The project is co-funded by the Interreg Northwest Europe program. With us today is Laura Vloka and me, Femi Atibioka. We joined the project at the Institute for Work and Technology in Germany. Today, we want to talk a bit about a crucial term, networking.
Okay, so today we want to talk about networking. Well, Femi, do you have a network?
Yes. My family, my friends, lovely colleagues at work, like you.
Oh, thanks for this, Femi. I guess that most of the people have this type of network, but in this podcast, we want to talk about networking in a business context.
True. With a special focus, of course, on migrant and refugee entrepreneurship. Let me give a quick overview of the main idea. Migrant entrepreneurship is typically associated with businesses serving their own migrant community. Or it is associated with the low-skilled and labor-intensive sectors of the mainstream economy. But the contemporary migrant entrepreneurship goes beyond these two particular segments. Self-employed migrants, as well as refugees, increasingly become active in other markets and sectors. Migrant and refugee entrepreneurs have diverse and dynamic entrepreneurial strategies, and the use of social capital from different networks varies depending on the market where the business operates.
Well, let me add to that due to restricted access to the mainstream networks in the sense of bounded rationality and optimization under constraints, migrants often rely on social capital in their migrant community for staff and client recruitment. Further, co-ownership with relatives and friends minimizes opportunism risks, while co-ethnic staff and client recruitment via referrers associated with transitive responsibility reduces risk of uncertainty. To quote Waldinger, the embeddedness of economic action in ethnic communities generates social capital because the social connections which within those communities help to resolve the uncertainties involved in economic exchange.
So when we are talking about networking, we are talking about social capital, right?
Yes, we do.
All right, but could you give us some more information concerning our idea of what networking really is or what it can mean?
Sure, Femi. So in general, networks mean the targeted establishment of contacts that are useful. So networking is not about quick contact that helps solve a specific problem, but about building reliable relationships that help broaden your horizons. So the basis on which someone makes business decisions becomes broader and more stable when one is well connected and can access a wide range of information via a network. I think this makes sense and is clear. So first and foremost, it's about establishing and maintaining personal and, in the startup area, even more important, professional contacts. So the difference lies in the intention. While general networking includes family members, friends, and mostly revolves around common interests in the sense of hobbies, professional or business networking is more goal-oriented. So this in no way excludes common interests, but the focus is on mutual benefit. A business network helps with problems, provides mutual support as well as information and inspiration.
It is also clear that not everyone is born to network. Perhaps it helps to know that you are not alone with the reluctance to simply speak to complete strangers. Many who also find it a little difficult are very grateful when someone else takes the first step. The likelihood of being interested and open-minded is usually high because we're all business people. After all, everyone in the business sector is dependent on contacts. So just jump over your own shadow and try it. But why are we networking in the first place, Laura?
So often founders are equipped with a high level of professional competence in their own discipline. But apart from that, however, they often need support in certain areas. Contacts help at those points where your own performance and expertise reach their limits and instead open new doors that are essential for advancement. So the exchange of experiences with other founders creates new inspiration and helps, for example, to avoid legal pitfalls or entrepreneurial mistakes in the startup phase.
So with the help of a network of people who A, pursue the same goal, or B, have already achieved it, founders can achieve their entrepreneurial goal much faster and easier, even today.
Being able to let the relationships play is part of a competitive advantage, not only in terms of the support already mentioned, but also in terms of attracting new customers. Because mutual support also means not losing sight of the economic aspect. There are two groups of network contacts that you should focus on. On the one hand, those people who are in the same situation as you, and on the other hand, those people who have already achieved the goal you have in mind. Apart from this, in some industries whose products are dependent on external service providers, it makes sense to build a network in this direction as well.
However, networking also needs to be learned if it's to be really effective. Excessive commitment can be just as unhelpful as excessive restraint. As with so many things in life, the devil lies in the detail. The clearer the idea of what the founder expects, hopes, demands from which partners, the easier it is to have a meaningful and mutual beneficial cooperation. As important as it is to be expand the network, there's little benefit from not maintaining it. After an interesting encounter, for example, you should take the trouble to say thank you with a short email. Examples, Christmas or New Year greetings. Also important, you cannot always expect immediate support from a contact, but at some point, he or she will be important for you.
Great, Femi. I think we gave a good overview on what networking is and how it worked. But maybe we can talk a little bit about how Enter to Transform can help.
Yes, of course. In Enter to Transform, we have the mentoring program. A competent and experienced consultant is extremely valuable, especially when it comes to the necessary learning effect before and in the first years after the establishment. In the best case scenario, experts are already part of the team of the newly founded company, but the expert view from the outside certainly doesn't hurt in order to avoid operational blindness.
It's not only that it doesn't hurt, but feedback is generally an important tool for identifying errors and potential for improvement. So don't be afraid to get as much feedback as you possibly can. It's not about the possible use of empirical values, but also about a different perspective. As a company founder, you shouldn't make the mistake of seeing yourself as a lone barrier. Self-employment means a large amount of initiative in all matters of the company, but on the other hand, that does not mean that you're left alone with the questions and problems. Well, I hope our insights are helpful for you guys. All the best and goodbye.